Our scripture reading today is the story of the shepherds from Luke 2, verses 8 to 20. In that region, there were shepherds living in the fields. Keeping watch over the angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. For see, I am bringing you good news of great joy for all the people. To you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a child wrapped in bands of cloth and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace among those whom he favors." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go now to Bethlehem and see this thing that has taken place, which the Lord has made known to us." So they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the child lying in the manger. When they saw this, they made known what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured all these words and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had seen and heard, as it had been told to them. So I want to start this morning with an experiment. This is an experiment from Brené Brown, an author and sociologist who studies vulnerability. And she did this experiment with a group of people, so I'm going to try it on you. You guys are the guinea pigs this morning. So she described the opening scene of a movie and asked people to imagine what happens next, what the next scene of the movie is. So here's the scene. Picture it in your minds. It's Christmas Eve. It's a beautiful night with a light snow falling. And there's a young family of four in the car on their way to Grandma's house for dinner. They're listening to the radio station as they drive, and Jingle Bells comes on, and everyone bursts into song, and the camera pans in on their faces. Kids, mom, dad. So what happens next? What do you think? If you're trying not to say out loud something bad, her study that 60% of people said, "Car crash." Is that what some of you were thinking? Children started fussing. Yeah, that too. So 60% of people imagine car crash. And 10 or 15% more think of something else, but even worse, the next day when the dad is getting bad news from the oncologist. Or even worse, everyone shows up at grandma's house and finds out there's a serial killer on the loose who has killed everyone else there. One person even managed to work in a scene with a shark attack. We let our imaginations go, and they turn, it seems, to fear and tragedy. And Brown thinks this isn't just about the movies we're watching and the social media we're consuming, but fear drives our expectations of what's going to happen to us in real life, too. She has interviewed countless parents sleeping peacefully, and instead of being able to relax and enjoy that sacred moment, parents' minds automatically go to all the horrible things that might happen to their kids. Do not fear. No wonder these are the first words of the angel, not just to the shepherds, but every time they appear to humans. They know that we are hardwired to fear the unknown, to fear what might happen. And if we turn on the news these days, it feels like there are plenty of good reasons to be afraid. Every day there is another shooting somewhere. Scientists are warning us about the dire consequences of climate change to our planet. And instead of leaders who are equipped to handle these problems with wisdom and compassion, more and more elected leaders are blaming minorities and acting like bullies. If an angel appeared right here to us this morning and said, "Do not fear," most of us would have a hard time following the angel's instructions. But the shepherds managed to get past their fear and say yes to the angel's invitation to become part of the Christmas story. They say yes to leaving behind their familiar fields and going on an adventure to see the Messiah for themselves. Now, the shepherds also have plenty of reasons to be afraid of going on this journey to see the Christ child. Even though they spend their days and nights outside the town, far away from the synagogue, watching sheep, they still have likely heard the stories about the long-awaited Messiah. In Jewish tradition, this promised Savior who had come to set his people free was often thought to be a mighty king, a military leader powerful enough to take on Israel's enemies and defeat them. And so for these poor, lowly shepherds to think about approaching a great warrior and judge would be intimidating at the very least. And to imagine seeing the Lord for themselves face to face, they might remember the story of Moses, who couldn't look at God directly or he would die. In Exodus 33, Moses asks to see God's glory, and God only lets him catch a quick glimpse of his back because he says no one can see God's face and live. And so on top of having this whole host of angels appear suddenly out of nowhere and give them this surprising news that the Messiah, the Lord, has arrived and wants them, sheep herders who live out on the margins of society, doing dirty, unskilled labor, them who spend their time in the company of animals, to come and be the first witnesses to encounter the Lord face to face. No wonder they were terrified. But they say yes. What gave these shepherds the courage to overcome their fear and to choose to be part of what God was doing? What prepared them to say yes to joy instead of giving in to their fear? I think it was exactly because of who they were and what they did day in and day out. As outsiders, literally and figuratively, the shepherds were open to experiencing wonder. Their work meant that they spent most of their time outside in nature, observing the majesty of the stars in the night sky, watching as the seasons changed, witnessing the wildflowers bloom and the leaves as they fell from the trees. Because they were responsible for protecting the sheep from danger, the shepherds were skilled at paying attention. To ensure that no wolves or predators snuck up on the herd, they had to notice everything going on around them. And so even when they were aware that there were dangers lurking just out of sight, they could still see the beauty of what lay in front of them. In the darkness of night, lying awake, they were accustomed to being filled at awe at a sky littered with stars. In the midst of fear, the shepherds had practice at feeling wonder. Wonder at what they couldn't understand or explain, but which reminded them that an incredible creative power was at work on a grand scale all around them. Writer and farmer Wendell Berry has said, "The most significant religious events recounted in the Bible do not occur in temples made with human hands. From Abraham to Jesus, The most important people are not priests, but shepherds, soldiers, workers, housewives, servants, fishermen, prisoners, even bureaucrats. Their great visionary encounters did not take place in temples, but in sheep pastures, in the desert, in the wilderness, on mountains, on the shores of rivers and the sea, and even in the middle of the sea. When we find ourselves consumed by fear for our own lives and for the world that we're living in, how can we choose wonder over fear? Can we remember that we are held and loved and called by the same awe-inspiring force that produces a breathtaking sunset? And find the courage to see what else our Creator may be up to that we can be a part of. This might mean stepping outside our doors, going on beyond our familiar walls to encounter the wonders of nature more often. It may mean keeping the company of those who are on the margins, outsiders who notice the things that we overlook. Choosing wonder over fear, letting our souls be nourished by the beauty of nature, does not mean that we just ignore all of those very real dangers that threaten our peace and safety. But practicing reverence for what God has made can better prepare us to protect it. It can renew our spirits for all the challenges that come with saying yes to being a part of God's work in the world. We face our fears with more courage and more resilience when we are grounded in God's goodness and familiar with the wonders that God is always working around us. I heard a beautiful story this week about the Ethiopian Orthodox Church. In the highlands of Ethiopia, the churches there believe that in order for a church to be a church, it has to be surrounded by trees, as if it's located in the Garden of Eden. A priest who is interviewed in the story says, "Every plant contains the power of God, the treasure of God, the blessings of God. So when someone plants a tree, every time it moves, the tree is praying for that person to live longer. They have a powerful sense of wonder for the sacred nature of trees." And so every Ethiopian Orthodox Church has been built in the middle of a protected forest, rich with ancient trees that reflect the biodiversity that was once found all across the region. Now, the Ethiopian Orthodox Church is pretty ancient, and so over time, since those churches have been built, the native forest has been cleared from a lot of the surrounding areas to make way for growing food and grazing cattle. In the past 100 years, the portion of Ethiopia's land covered by trees has shrunk from 40% to 4%. If you look at aerial photos of the region, you see vast stretches of dry, barren land, and then a small, bright green ring of trees around a church building. A local conservation scientist, I'm going to mispronounce his name, Alimehu Wasi, grew up in these churches and remembers walking through these forests. And so, as an adult, he set out to save and to restore Ethiopia's forests. And at first, he felt overwhelmed by the task. But he had the idea of going to the clergy and starting with the churches. And he found that the churches were passionate about figuring out how they could help, how they could be stewards of these sacred resources. He says, "We were told that most of the forest had been destroyed, and it seemed that there was no hope. But there are thousands of tiny church forests dotting the landscape, and each one represents a pinprick of hope for future restoration." This Advent, may the shepherds lead us to choose wonder over fear. May they remind us that when we hear shocking news, when we feel terror, to look up at the stars, to look around us at the trees, and to be led closer to Jesus, to feel hope about what could be possible. With the shepherds, may we experience the awe that comes from encountering God face to face, whether that is under the stars, during a visit with a homeless mother or an immigrant family, while watching our sleeping child, or simply in hearing the good news once again that our Savior has been born for us and invites even us to come and be a part of the story. If you want to be a part of God's story along with us here at St. Paul's, Amanda or I would be happy to talk with you anytime about becoming a member of this church. Or you're invited to come forward as we stand and sing our hymn of invitation. It's number 132, When God is a Child.